the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Mark chapter 1, in the city of Capernaum, they were astonished at Jesus' teaching. And when the demon cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus says, "Be silent and come out of him." And they were amazed. A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as we are still in the midst of the Epiphany season, Jesus, the light of the world, today we consider how Jesus of Nazareth, as true man, is also the Holy One of God, the Son of God, in eternity. Today we see Jesus in his Epiphany light drives out the devil's spiritual darkness. Jesus came from heaven with his holy flesh to defeat the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. Jesus, the Holy One, drives out Satan, the unholy one, like light drives out darkness. God foretold the coming of this Holy One. God spoke to Moses in Deuteronomy 18 that there's a prophet like you coming, Moses. To you, to him, all of you must listen. This prophet like unto you, and God is foretelling the coming of Jesus, will speak with God's mouth and with God's word and with God's name. And you must listen to him. God was telling Moses about our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we see in this gospel text today. And so as we consider Jesus of Nazareth bringing us a new teaching with authority, he is true man, Jesus of Nazareth. He is true God, the Holy One. Let's first look at his amazing teaching as Jesus of Nazareth. Then his power over the evil spirits as the Holy One of God. And then for you and for me, his teaching and his authority for all of us. We begin with his amazing teaching as Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus and his disciples are traveling up north in the area of Galilee, along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And they come to a city, the city called Capernaum, and go into the synagogue. It's interesting that CPH put a map on the front of your bulletin of the Holy Land, and way up northwest by the Sea of Galilee, you see in small print the city of Capernaum. You can still visit there today. It's been excavated, and I've actually stood on the floor of this synagogue where this event happened. You too can visit this synagogue in the ancient city of Capernaum today. And I often remember that on that day when we were walking on the floor of this synagogue, this event that happened right in that place. It was on a Sabbath. The Jews in the seventh day, Saturday, rest in God's word around the divine service and worship. Much like we gather here today in worship in the Christian church, they would come into the synagogue and they would be taught. They would sing the Psalms, just like we have. They'd sing hymns. There would be a scripture lesson. The rabbi would preach a sermon. They would have prayers for the members of the congregation. And they'd have the benediction, like you're going to hear at the close of this service. Very much how we worship today. And there, coming into the synagogue, Jesus was allowed, as a fully mature man of Israel, to teach. And so he taught God's word. People were astonished. They said, "His teaching is like one who has authority." We know why. He came with the authority of God the Father, and as God's Son spoke that word to us. You see, usually when they went up to the synagogue and the scribes would begin to speak, they were pretty boring. They might say, "Rabbi over here has said thus and thus and thus, and Rabbi over here has said thus, on one hand this, on the other hand this." And the people were probably scratching their heads. But when Jesus spoke, He spoke instantly with authority how it is, who God is, and why he had come. Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, had been raised in Nazareth, the son of a carpenter, and now began his ministry up in Galilee before he would ever make it down to Jerusalem. Here, Jesus is showing that he is indeed true man. Obviously, he's present with them. He was the carpenter of Nazareth. He had calluses on his hands. He knew how to work in a wood shop because he was Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. But he is also true God, God's Son in eternity. He has been the Son of God in eternity forever and ever before he became incarnate in the womb of Mary. Therefore, he is our amazing teacher. Standing there in his human body, you and I have his words written in the New Testament for us to study, to preach, to teach, and meditate upon. And when it comes to Jesus, his authority commands obedience. He spoke to the demons. They must obey. At creation, he spoke to the elements, and they were created. At the cross, he spoke, "It is finished," and it was done. He speaks you holy because he has justified you by grace. He speaks your name as you are baptized in water and word in the name of the triune God that you are his child. And he speaks, and with the bread and wine on communion Sundays, gives us his body and blood for the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins. This amazing teaching of Jesus still has authority today. His authority commands obedience. That's the amazing teaching of Jesus of Nazareth. Now we look at his power over the evil spirits as the Holy One of God. In the synagogue, all of a sudden, bursting forth is a man with an unclean spirit that is a demon, the devil, an evil angel. A word of explanation about the demons. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, when the devil deceived Adam and Eve, the devil and the evil angels were created good, but they rebelled against God. And in their rebellion, Michael and the archangel and the good angels defeated them, and the devil and the demons were cast into hell. They hate God. They hate you and me. They despise God's word, and they're in hell, eternally separated from God. However, Jesus told us that the devil is the father of lies, the author of death. Even though they are in hell, they can roam earth and torment people, deceive us and tempt us. And they are wily and they are wicked. They can even possess people, take over a person's body, speak through their mouth, and physically hurt them. That is what this man has. A demon has possessed him. The demons in the spiritual realm, they know exactly who Jesus is. The demon speaking through the man looks and cries out, looking at Jesus, "What do you have to do with us? Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? We know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, something to note here is what the demon says is exactly true. Jesus is the man of Nazareth. Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus is the Holy One of God. But the reason Jesus rebukes this foul spirit and says, "Be silent, come out of him," he is not going to have his identity proclaimed by these evil, wicked spirits. That is not how his glory is to be proclaimed. And so he silences this demon who comes out of the man. The man's body convulses. The devil cries out with a loud voice. The man has been set free. If you know your New Testament, You know that Jesus cast out hundreds and hundreds of demons out of people. He came to undo the work of the devil. How does Jesus' word today drive the demons out? The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The word of God pushes away the demons. Because the word of God has come from the Father to the Son, through the Holy Spirit, to the apostles who wrote it down in the Bible, who we read and preach the words which we read and are preached today. When Jesus overcame the devil in the wilderness, he spoke the word of God, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God," and the devil left. The word of God drives the demons out. As we sing in a mighty fortress, one little word can fell him. And as is said in the book of James and in Peter, resist the devil with the word of God, and he will flee from you. There is a renewed interest in our post-Christian world, which has rapidly become pagan, in the demonic and the occult. The devil has reared his ugly head again, but he's been there all along, because the wickedness of the devil, the will, the world, and our sinful flesh is what the word of God comes to drive out. The devils are also driven out through the sacraments, which are the word of God in a form that touches us. When the word is preached, when you are taught, when water and word touches you in holy baptism, when you hear the word of absolution and receive Christ's body and blood in holy communion, the word of God drives the demons out. So we know Christ has defeated them. But we must, if we're going to beware of them, we must be aware that we are besieged by the principalities of darkness. Therefore, only with the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, can we and will we prevail and drive out the devils with the word of Jesus Christ. The amazing teaching of Jesus, his power over the devils. What about you and me? How does his teaching and authority affect and come to us today? They were amazed, and they questioned among themselves, "What is this?" We know exactly what it is. He's the promised Messiah. There are hundreds of promises from the book of Genesis to Malachi that foretell his coming. He fulfills them all. He is the one they've been waiting for. The reason it's a new teaching with authority is that the Christ has finally appeared. They say he commands the unclean spirits who obey him. And his fame spread everywhere, all around the region of Galilee. His fame continues to spread today, here to this place, to your life and to my life. Consider how the teaching of Jesus has impacted you. What would your life be without the Bible? What would your life be without the knowledge of Christ in the New Testament? You would be lost, you would be confused, and you would be condemned. But the teaching of Jesus has transformed your life. It is powerful. He speaks in parables. He brings us the promises of God. Prophetic words about the now and the future. It's people-oriented to bring us peace. Your children study it in Sunday school. We have Bible class so you can learn it. You have a study Bible to read at home. You read and meditate upon the portals of prayer. When you were doing this, you were taking into yourself the Word of God. You are being taught so that God can use you to dispel the darkness with the light. What about Jesus' authority for you? Because he's the Son of God in eternity, he gave us the Great Commission before he ascended. That you go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the triune God, teach them all that I've commanded you. And what we teach people is this. The Lord Jesus Christ, who would be crucified on the cross, would be raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God as our intercessor, and our mediator. He is your mediator before the throne of God. He is returning on the last day to come as both judge and savior in judgment and mercy. And the fame of Jesus proclaims to the world that in this man, true God and true man, you've been declared justified by grace, declared innocent before the throne of God's grace because of the blood of Jesus Christ. All who believe that will be saved, have forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. The fame of Jesus has come to us here in this place where we live and in our time, for all people, for all the world, for all time. So my friends, in conclusion, this news about Jesus has indeed spread over all the regions of the whole world. We consider the mission work that goes on all over the world and the mission work we do right here in this place. How can we in our personal, family, and congregational lives bear witness to this Lord Jesus Christ and carry out His great commission? We believe in the triune God, as we will confess in the Apostles' Creed in a moment. Just like Paul, who said in the epistle lesson, though there's many false gods and many idols and so-called gods, there is only one God, God the Father, through whom all things were made, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was there speaking creation into existence with the Father, and who was crucified for us, and the Holy Spirit, who takes us away from idols and gives us faith in the living God. You have light and life and the love of God in your life. And when the light is lit, it dispels the darkness. So, in 2015... how will you serve Jesus? In your daily vocation, whether you be husband, wife, child, employer, employee, God will use you where you work every day to be a light to those around you. He will show you how to do that. In your family, husbands, wives, children, love and serve one another. Be examples to one another about the light and the love of Christ. And we here in our church, one family in this work of our church and school and campus ministry, need each of you to do your part with your unique abilities, talents, and interests can be used in this congregation for the carrying out of the Great Commission. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth is the Holy One of God. May His light and His love and His life fill us with joy, and may that light and love and life emanate from us into the lives of others, to the glory of His name. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.